Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey hustlers, we know that this 2024, the entrepreneurial journey is filled with challenges. An often overlooked aspect is the time-consuming task of processing payroll and managing government requirements. And did you know that the average admin spends a whopping 50 hours per month dealing with just government compliance? That's time you could be spending on growing your business, or let's be honest, taking a well-deserved break. But fear not, we got a game changer for you, introducing Sprout Solutions and their tailored solutions for MSMEs called the Payroll Starter. With Sprout Solutions Payroll Starter, you can finally reclaim your time and get your life back on track. Say goodbye to the stress of remembering tax dates or worrying about missed payroll runs. This bundle is designed to make your life easier and your business more efficient. And here's the best part. The cost starts just at 5,000 pesos per month for businesses with up to 10 employees. Yep, you heard that right. That's just 5,000 pesos per month. So why spend another minute drowning in payroll paperwork when Sprout can revolutionize the way you manage your payroll and government requirements? Take the first step towards a more efficient business today. Visit sprout.ph/payrollstartermonthly5k. If you missed that, don't worry. We have it in the description box of this episode. So click that too. And again, big shout out to Sprout Solutions because your time is too valuable to be spent on paperwork. Reclaim it with their Payroll Starter. Now let's begin this episode.
The Hustle Share podcast is brought to you by GoTime Bank. GoTime Bank is owned by the Gokongwei Group, the same companies that brought you brands you love like Cebu Pacific and many more. GoTime Bank makes next-level banking a breeze with its convenient account opening process. It takes less than 5 minutes to get started via the free app. Plus, get your GoTime Bank Visa card at one of their kiosks for free. Download the GoTime Bank app today and experience the next level of banking. You may visit www.gotime.com.ph for more details. Also brought to you by PayMongo, the payment gateway for business growth. PayMongo allows your business to accept online payments from your customers through Visa, MasterCard, GCash, GrabPay, Maya, online banking, Buy Now, Pay Later, and many more, all with just one platform. Sign up for free at paymongo.com. And brought to you by SeatCap. SeatCap is a lending platform powered by UBX Philippines. With SeatCap, you can easily apply for a loan from 5,000 pesos up to 1 million pesos from the comfort of your own home nationwide. Visit www.seatcap.ph, sign up, and apply for a loan now. That's www.seekcap.ph. Take your business to new heights by seeking capital with SeatCap.
The more that you get projected, the more that you understand what are your weaknesses and how you would improve. So for the next edition, you try to be better, a little better, a little better. And then it's sort of practice for you as an artist or a performer, because you get to get some challenges, go through challenges, and you learn a lot from each one.
Welcome to Hustle Share, the podcast that features the daily grinds of unique hustlers around the world to show not our differences, but that our hustles are very much alike. Now here is your host, Ronster Baityong.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Share Podcast. We finally got this woman who is so super busy and borderline crazy, because I heard about this crazy story from Boss Team C. All right, so she gave birth recently. And this woman didn't take a maternity leave, and just a few days or weeks after, she was back in the office doing what she does. Like, who does that? Amazing hustle. But without further ado, let's welcome to the show, Miss Yes Nori Soyao of Shoppertainment. Yes, finally, we're doing this.
Good morning.
Good morning. And again, very, very excited to have you here. I mean, finally immortalizing your amazing work and the amazing boodle you do to everyone that you are able to boodle on your live stream, right? Because this is not a chamba. This is a science, and I want to understand how you're able to do that and how you help brands boodle their customers instantaneously through live streaming. But before I get carried away, yes, I need to ask you the million-dollar question. Yes, what's your hustle?
All right, so I'm the CEO and co-founder of Shoppertainment Live. So what we do is live stream shopping, and we create different campaigns for live stream selling for different brands. And at the same time, we also have our own channel for live stream selling. So we place that in several platforms like e-commerce platforms and social commerce platforms like, Shopee, Lazada, TikTok, and even social media like Facebook, YouTube, and all of those platforms where you can go live.
And again, I do a little bit of back channeling, and sometimes I meet with Steve C and you guys are killing it. So again, I've had a chance to really understand it from afar with a few conversations with you. But today we will dissect how you're able to boodle everyone. When you say pamain and all that, that's what you've been doing. Because this is not an accident. I don't know if you remember this. If you're listening to this, I always known Yaz because in my first startup in nightlife, so guestlist.ph 45, I usually go home late at night na. Mm-hmm. 12, 1 a.m., whatever. Mm-hmm. And when I wind down my day, trying to remove my shit, just chill at the couch, I pop in the TV and the first thing that shows up is OTV shopping, right? Whatever that live streaming thing. And it's like, man, this girl is always here. And that's why I was like, man, you're part of my life for a long time because I go home and you're the first thing that I see. But before we talk about live streaming, again, you can't be a great boodleista if you didn't start early. So yes, I need you to buckle up real quick. Okay, because we're going to go all the way back and understand how you started hustling, because we're going to have to ride the hustle share time machine. There you go. Sit back. Yes, there you go. All righty. And again, we're all the way back. Before you became the CEO of Shoppertainment, before you become an expert, the most amazing live seller in the Pelopans, I want to understand, yes, what was it like growing up and what was your very first exposure to hustling? Because I remember we share a certain origin story. You grew up in the hoods of Kamuning. I remember you telling me that.
Yeah. But
Kamuning represent. Okay, walk me through, how was it like growing up and what was your first exposure to hustling?
I think it was really more of, there was a student film in UP, and then I got to meet some people from production, and they would always get me for like acting on their stints and their projects and stuff. And eventually there was this program that they told me that maybe you can audition for this. And then I tried it out. And then I started doing more, and then commercials happened. And then I got into this network thing from ABS-CBN. So it was like Star Magic. We're in
here, wow.
People.
Nice.
So there, that's my experience growing up. I was just having fun, but you know, it's fun to have money too. So while you're doing things that you find fun, then you get paid for it, and that would be super great. So I was exposed to that world when I was around 13, 14.
What? You were doing showbiz now at 13 and 14?
13, 14, I was like just doing a bit of stints, but 17, when I got into UP, that's when the film students started sharing more projects with me, and then that's when I got into ABS-CBN as well.
Okay, 17. So I'll just track back a little bit. Okay, a couple of things before. You went straight to how you became a showbiz personality. But I want to go a little bit further back, right? Growing up, like, again, did you have any inspiration to hustling? Because, okay, let's just admit what it is, all right? I think we're born out of the same year. We are the first PBB generation, okay? We were TV natives. And a lot of the people that in our generation, of course, everybody thought they can be an artista, right? Everybody thought they had talent until they realized they don't, okay? They just don't have it, right? And it's rare that I actually get to talk to people in my generation that are all same age as me that got it done. But before you even got there, did it start very early on? Like, are you a Bebo kid? And how did you harness this Because you have to have that confidence, of course, the looks, but the confidence early. What were you doing very early in your life? Yeah, performance. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually a very shy kid. And I think my mom got bothered with that because I was a late talker. Like, yeah, I was a late talker. And my mom enrolled me to some play schools and also this theater group for trumpets or repertory just to build my confidence.
Okay.
So I was exposed to doing plays when I was around 7 or 8. So, yeah, from there, I thought that it was very fun. Even though my personality is not like really, really super extroverted, it's because of those trainings, I think, or that exposure that I found fun that made me come out of the shell. So I think those things.
And what one of the things that really matter when you're starting early, and I attribute that, I went through a similar process. My mom enrolled me in several things. One thing that really fell right for me, which I fell in love with, was basketball. And I kept doing that till college and whatnot. What was it about theater or performing arts that made you fall in love with it? Because obviously you kept going and going. And most some kids don't find that at all. And that title, what is my hobby? What am I good at and whatnot? How did you know this was the thing for you early on? And why did you enjoy it?
I like the feeling of pretending to become this certain character and then making people happy when you do that. So when I see people happy, whenever I do that, I feel happy too. So I think that was one of the things that made me attracted to acting and performing.
Got it. And when you're young, this started out this young. Of course, you develop skill stacks. So that's one thing I always talk about in Hustle Share. What is the skill stack that you develop very early? Because you can't become great at what you do if you didn't develop skills and the discipline along with the repetition that it takes. Talk to me about what skill stack you develop while acting that eventually translated well down the road when you're boodling every one of us now, right? So what did you learn very early? Again, you carried on to business down the road.
Right. Yeah. Actually, something that's really interesting with acting is that it's a combination of two things, which is spontaneity and structure. Like you need to have a foundation and some certain principles, and then you play with that. And that's when you become spontaneous.
Okay.
And I think that also applies in business, being an entrepreneur,
right?
A bit of structure, but at the same time, you have to be on the fly on whatever's going to happen, be it in the market, and what the consumer wants. So I think that's like a core skill that I got from acting as well.
Yeah, but how were you able to learn those early on? Because again, a lot of us get thrown into chaos, especially in Kamuni. It's chaotic there sometimes, right? You know, so hard. There's so much jeeps and so much sigawan sometimes. But I want to understand how in the structure of performing arts, how does it become? Because most people think it's just an art until you realize there's a method to becoming spontaneous and how you eventually turn that into that dancer's structure and spontaneity, right? How did you develop that early on until it became it's like a formula inside your head that you just go through over and over and over again?
Right. In acting, there's always an objective of what you need to do, right? So for example, this role or in this scene, you should get angry with this person because this is what the person did, right? So that's what's in your head. Now, you need to make it as natural as possible. So that's where the spontaneity comes in. So you need to do like mental work first. So this is the objective. When I do this, when I feel this, this is how it should look like. These are some prompts that can help me get into this. So it's mental work. And then spontaneity happens while you're doing the practice of acting to get that goal.
That's amazing. Now, okay, I want to understand. You started, again, early, 13, 14. What was I doing? Playing street basketball at 13, 14. I want to understand how you juggled showbiz and studies. Because some people don't do that very well, right? They pick a side. Again, how many artistas never got to finish it out? How did you balance that out? Also, because you have to go through repetition. You did this for a while. Yes.
Yeah.
How did you do well on both and juggle those things together?
Willpower.
Willpower. Willpower. No, but like, how did you? There needs to be discipline and systems there. How did you do both well?
First is I have to. It's all about like, what's your goal? Why are you doing this? Because if it's just for fun, then maybe you won't be too serious about it. But if you think that it's a hustle, or you think that this will get you somewhere, then you do more, right? When you know that there's an output that you want to get out of it. So in terms of studies, I knew that I want to finish so that I can experience this. And I knew that this certain art is not just a hobby. It's actually part of my skill set as a person. So what's the output I want to get out of it?
Was it clear early on? Yes. On what, again, you said it was already clear, and that there's a vision that you had it. Was it clear that showbiz was something you really wanted to do early on? And what was that dream when you were starting out?
Pretty interesting. It's not really showbiz that was on my head. I just knew that I like TV. I like performance. I love visual arts. All of those things, I think, is in media. Right? And I remember that I did this whole vision board when I was back in college.
Wow.
And I placed it inside my room in tents.
Oh my God.
I placed there, I want to be someone in the media industry that would create an impact for people, be it in different lifestyle categories, be it in fashion or art or whatever. Basta in my heart, I want to be in media.
Right. Yon,
nakalagay.
And then the vision board, was it very vivid on what exactly the things you wanted?
Just like a jumbled
random stuff that you wanted.
Random stuff. But I knew like it's real to me. It's a core. It's a North Star. It's not super clear, but I know it's in that field.
No, it's like a collage or a constellation of things. So the reason why I asked this, I'll just go off tangent a little bit. I had something similar too. I did it in 2014. Ooh. Basically, we were doing in yesless.ph, when I got invested on by Kickstart, we had this workshop. They gave us a little cork board of stuff that we wanted to do. And then they said, print out all your dreams. What did you want? So everybody else that were doing that exercise fit their dream within the cork board. I'm the only weirdo that had so many dreams that was spiraling out of control. And every single thing, like for example, the center of that cork board was, I wanted to buy my mom a house. So I wake up every morning like, shit, this is my why. This is what I wanted. And it helped me through really dark days. As corny as it may sound, it got a lot of alikabok. But it's still alive, you know? And true enough, after 4, 5, 8 years and whatnot, probably I'd say 70% of the things I put on that board is now a reality. So it's very important. It's
powerful, okay. Right?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Because
when people always say it, right? You want to manifest your dreams. But the thing about making dreams is that you have to be very, very vivid over what you want, because you cannot manifest something that's big, right? And when you manifest, you work extra hard to turn it into reality, because the world will not do you favors if you don't hustle for it. Unfortunately, there's no free pass. Unless you are you have a silver spoon and you have old money running you, then yeah, probably. But no, sorry, I just got inspired by that. And again, it really works through manifestations.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For me though, it works that mine wasn't super, super specific, but it parang in along those lines, that's what happened.
Right.
Because if it was super, super specific, you might find it hard to transition in case that thing doesn't happen.
Right.
But if you know where your core is at, you can work around that. So for example, at a certain point when I was really deep into acting, I was like, I want to be a super, super sikat na artista and all.
Okay.
But it didn't happen. I wasn't really like an Ann Curtis type, right? Mm-hmm. I got to experience it, but it wasn't, I found out it wasn't really something for me.
Correct.
But I knew that my heart is still within that circle.
Yes.
So I found ways. Because if you get disappointed, right, and you believe that that's the only thing that can make you feel successful, then it might be hard for you.
Yeah.
You can't do exactly that.
For me, what I put there, sorry, it might sound super selfish here, but these are material things. Like, okay, I want the house. So it's like, this is what I need for my mom. I want the love of my life. I want a wife. So, okay, check. I got that. All right. So it's like a checklist.
Awesome. Yeah.
But I did not put myself in the pressure of, because I see a lot of kids struggling here. Like, I need to have a house by X of by 30 or 35. And then when they see their peers doing it, they start feeling
pressure.
or they feel less. They play the envy game. But in reality, every one of us runs a different race.
Exactly.
But you have to keep going. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's it. I'm sorry. I mean, the titos and titas are not talking around. Right. Now, last question before we take our first break. So, yes, you did all of this. School and showbiz at the same time. But at the end of the day, success, failure you can do alone, success you needed help. Early on, what was the type of help and who did you get it from that allowed you to pursue these things? Because like for me, my mom, I always attributed, I wouldn't have had a lick of chance to even pursue shit that I liked if she didn't put me in a good school, she didn't allow me to go ahead, pursue basketball, I'll fill in the rest. She hustled for it. She did a lot. She had a day job. She did a lot of racket. I saw how she hustled. That got embedded into me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm super grateful for that, because if she didn't do that, good luck. I wouldn't even have a chance to get here. For you, what was the type of help you got to even get a chance to pursue what you love?
Definitely my parents. Yeah, but just like you, they did all they can just to enhance certain potentials that they see in us. But at the same time, my mom is like my heckler. Both my parents are like serious doctors, and for them, like being an artist is like way out of how they can comprehend things.
Okay.
It's not something that they'd want initially for us. But I remember my mom is saying, "Bakit ka pupunta dyan? Eh, wala naman tayong connection dyan. Di ka naman makaka-thrive dyan, kumbaga." But I'm like, oh, okay. I'm gonna take that as a motivation for myself. And I was the one who looked for certain people who I can connect to so that I can create, I can put myself out there and do auditions and all.
Wow.
So it led to one thing to another. And yeah, it's like they gave me the tools, but I still made my way to find people who would lead me to certain goals that I have in my life.
Right. And in hindsight, that's a blessing. Because again, I had similar things with my mom and my grandma. Like their love language is like, kaya mo ba? Is it that criticism was normal for me. Because imagine if I was brought up like, I was sheltered in the way we brought up. And the world is tough out there. Imagine if inside your house, you can't take criticism and you can't take, opposition. You'll feel like the world owes you something.
Right.
But in reality, if you're raised that way and you use that as motivation, as another chip on your shoulder, then boom, right? You turn a negative into a positive, and that can be super powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agree.
All right, now let's take our first break. And when we come back, we will now talk about how Yes became a performing artista to a budulera on TV late at night. Because I almost bought a lot of things, the kukan type of stuff that I still remember, right?
Remember that.
And then how he turned into Shoppertainment. But let's talk about that more after the break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hey guys, I have a very, very exciting opportunity I want to share with you guys. If you're a B2B startup founder, listen up. Your ticket to growth is here. Introducing Impact 24, the Philippines' largest B2B SaaS challenge. Calling all startups in their pre-launch, pre-seed, or seed stages, this is your chance to accelerate their growth. Submit your pitch to Impact 24 and get ready for a 10-week intensive program to elevate your solution. What's in it for you? How about up to 500,000 pesos in MVP project support, exclusive credits from industry partners, personalized mentoring, and a shot to pitch at SaaSCon PH, the country's biggest SaaS conference this April. But yo, you gotta hurry up because submissions close on January 26, 2024 already. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your startup to new heights. Apply now at saaschallenge.ph. That's saaschallenge.ph. And good luck, and I'll see you guys in Impact 24. And we're back from the break. We are still with Ness. Ness. Not, you're not Ness. Yes, Ness. You are not a rapper. Okay, apologies for that. So yes, you, again, before the break, you told us the early hustles that you did. But after school, how did it become a real grind being an artista? You know, walk me through the day-to-day. Because we only see the finished product when you're already out there. What happens behind the scenes and how much of a grind is it to get even in front of the things? So back then, there was no internet. The only channel you can come out is TV. That's it. You cannot make a name for yourself. There's no such thing as user-generated content. What was that grind like before?
So for example, I have some break times during my college days. Instead of, you know, just relaxing, I would go to auditions.
What? Where did you study?
UP.
Okay, so it's nearby. Yeah. If it's ABS and GMA, that's 1 to 2 jeeps away if you're going to go to. Arayat is the key. There you go.
But sometimes I would go to Makati for commercial auditions.
Oh.
Makati, yeah. Ang dami doon, maraming production.
Right, right. Lagari.
Yep. Okay, but we have to do that in order for you to get work.
But, so let's talk numbers here. So in 10 auditions, how many of these will you typically get? And what happens in an audition? Is it Jabar City? Are you always Jabar? What happens behind the scenes?
So kailangan, ano, you're prepared with how you look. Because that's the first thing that they would look at. Right? Mm. So you need to really dress up when you're there for an audition. And then they're going to give you a script. Or if it's for a film, for example, or for a series, they would give you a script and then you study it for some minutes. They would give you some time to do that. And then they would call you back and you will perform it in front of the camera.
And you had no idea what you were going to perform when you get there?
No, they would just give you the
script.
Impromptu. So for example, there's this show and they're looking for certain characters, but you don't know which characters.
Oh my
and then
God.
You will just get there on the spot.
Ah, what if they gave you a Doding Daga role? How would you play
that? It's up to you if you want to stay or you just want to leave. Pero if Doding Daga is fun and pays well, why not?
The fact that you knew Doding Daga is a confirmation that you are my generation. Okay, so walk me through the thing. So again, numbers game. How, out of, say, 10 editions, how many of these typically do you get?
Like one.
Wow. How does that affect your confidence? Yes. Because again, if that's the numbers game that we're looking at and everybody's trying to go there and of course you're going to look at your piece like, oh my God, that girl's too pretty. How do I even compete? How do you give yourself a fighting chance to even get a project, I guess?
Yeah, it's all about the skill set, I guess. Also, like for the first few editions when I did, I would always feel down when I get rejected. But after a while, parang ano, may kalyo ka na. Parang, okay, next.
It's just like sales, no? It's a rejection game.
Yeah, but the more that you get rejected, the more that you understand what are your weaknesses and how you would improve. So for the next edition, you try to be better, a little better, a little better. And then it's sort of practice for you as an artist or a performer. Got because it. You get to get some challenges, go through challenges, and you learn a lot from each one.
Got it. All right. Now, in between, so imagine if 1 out of 10, how do you make ends meet? Because again, in the eyes of the public, me, the normal viewing public, like all artistas are mayaman, they're well off and whatnot. But in reality, it's probably all, just like in startup land, right? Only the Steve C's are super yaman. Everybody else is broke, right? You don't even have salary, right? Sometimes. How do you make ends meet during those times where, you know, it's a 9 out of 10 where you're still looking for that one edition that will break the roof?
Yeah, that's the reason why I wanted to finish college. Because I knew that I love what I'm doing, but there might be like a lot of risks. So I knew that I still need to do something else while I'm waiting for that next edition or for that next project. So while I was waiting, I actually tried to do a bit of producing. So I started learning from this media house. So they taught me how to research, write, edit, produce, all of those skill sets. So while I was waiting for the next project, I would do that. So I would also understand the dynamics in the back end. This is the content, and then your talent is like this. So my mind was really open. It's not just about performance, but also the overall production that's happening. So that was what I did as a grind. Anything that's connected to the industry that I was in, I was really getting my hands dirty and understanding what it's all about.
Got it. And that's very much a precursor to how running a company is. Because if you understand how everything fits and you look for the right people that actually does well, and again, in a grand scheme of things from a zoom out perspective, that, okay, this is how magic happens.
Yeah. Right?
That's what is the main determinant of how you can really kind of test yourself on how to become a founder. Because you always have to look at it from a bird's eye view that, this is how this whole thing operates.
Yes.
And you see it, you can zoom in and be the talent and be the producer or be the scriptwriter or whoever. But if you understand how everything fits, you can fire yourself for each aspect that you do. Now, I want to understand, how did this knowledge and this grind, so auditioning, doing back-end stuff, how did this turn into live selling? How did you turn into this opportunity, and how did you maximize that?
Right. So let's go back to making ends meet, right?
Okay, making ends meet. The hassle and the struggle.
Yes. So there came a time wherein I was like, I felt like I was getting older. I was
old were you?
Mid-20s. Mga siguro 26, 27. So I knew this.
Quarter life.
Yeah, I was in that stage already. And I took my MBA.
You did MBA pa while doing
it. I did an MBA. Because I was just looking out for what may happen in the future. So while I was doing all the production work, the on-camera stuff, there's this part of me that parang sabi ko, I need to find stability in what they do. And if opportunities won't really align, at least I would know how to build something from what I know, from what I'm interested in. So I took my MBA during that time. And after that, I decided to do corporate work. Just for me to really understand and get into the whole business of media. So I had to let go a lot of things. It was quite difficult because that was something that I knew for a very long time, right? Like performance. Parang inaccept ko sa sarili ko na it's time to do something more apart from what you already know.
Okay.
You need to go out of your comfort zone and understand what is the foundation of all of this. Because at the end of the day, it's all about sustainability. I had that insight.
Already. I like that. And then that's foresight also, that you see that, okay, you're not going to be sikat forever. There's always a shelf life for being a artista. But if you can build your own opportunities down the road, then you're in control of your destiny.
Yeah. So I work with the same network. With ABS-CBN.
Kapamilya. And, there you go.
Yeah.
Scout area. You never really left Kamuning.
No, I did. Actually, we moved to Commonwealth area.
Ah. No, but you still go back to Scout area.
PUC
and get
it. PUC.
Yeah, PUC Ferret. Okay. Is that where you met Anso Yao? There you go.
No, an MBA actually.
Ah, there you go. We'll talk about the love story in a different podcast. This is not the right... wrong podcast. Okay. But how did you then maximize this thing? And what did you learn being in the corporate side of things? So you already knew how to do production. You already knew how to become a great talent. What was the next skill stacks that you're putting then on top of this?
Siguro yung pinaka constant with my personality was I always had a vision. I always had a goal. I see things bigger, in a bigger way, like that. Mm. So, medyo makapal yung mukha ko, no? Parang after all of those production and stuff, I actually went to ABS-CBN and did a pitch to one of the heads.
Okay.
And then, I pitched this certain program.
Okay.
And after that, I was like, do you want it? Do you want it to happen there?
Wow. No, and you have nothing to lose. You just shoot your shot, right? And what was the program?
It was actually a digital platform.
Okay.
Basically, it's like a lifestyle magazine for millennials. And it's about carving your own path with different fashions. Right? So it was during that time wherein, you know, co-working spaces, community building was on the rise.
Yep, yep.
Finding yourself. Simon Sinek's Y Circle was, you know, always talking about millennials.
Okay.
So I pitched like a brand that's sort of aligned to that. And then they liked it and gave me a shot. And they gave me a position inside the network to build this for a millennial group. And I learned so much.
Is it like an in-house prod or did you have like a sponsor to back it up?
It was an in-house prod.
Wow.
I really became an employee.
Wow.
And they gave me a certain budget. They gave me an opportunity to build a team within the network. And it was great. I had a lot of ideas.
Okay.
But you know what? Napaso ako because I realized I didn't have a lot of skill set. And it was so humbling. It was so humbling. I failed. Even with all of those ideas and those promises, I'm like, there are so many factors that needs to be developed.
Correct.
Within me as a person and as a leader. And hindi lang siya yabang. Kailangan mo talaga expertise, experience.
And a lot of luck.
Yes,
because even if you position yourself, surround yourself with the right things, the right people, right resources, there's only so much things that you can control. That there are things that like just needs a little bit of luck. But you get lucky as you hustle more. But in hindsight, yes. What were those things you felt like was missing at that point, pa, when you were doing this?
I think more of strategy, the experience to create strategy that would make a media platform thrive.
Got it.
Branding was also not my experience before. It wasn't my expertise, but I had to do a lot of it because it was building a brand from scratch.
Yeah.
Right. So you need to have a lot of input from that. And another thing that I really learned was to stick up for your vision.
Right.
Because being in a corporate setup, there are so many things that you have to maneuver, right? And there would be a lot of other hearsays or people saying this and that. And since you want to please people, you have to do, you try to do a little bit of those things that they've been saying. But at the end of the day, pag tingnan mo na yung output, is it still the vision that you shared parang hindi na.
Right.
And my heart slowly was feeling down because I knew that that wasn't the output I had from the start. Also, being a good people person. It's not like, you know, when you're doing freelance, when you're doing artist work, like whenever you talk to people, it's just about showcasing what you know through your artistry. But when you're in corporate, it's all about understanding each other to make things work. You know, yep. Parang I felt like I was so selfish. I kind of cultivated that selfish ambition in me. And when I was there, bam, iba yung culture. Medyo na naguluhan ako.
Shocked. There you go.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm. And very, very humbling. It was a very humbling experience.
Okay. Now,
but
after, and that's the most important thing. Everyone that eventually figures it out, it's not a straight line. Everyone will always fall flat into their face. And the moment you think you've have it all figured out, there's always another level that like boom, pluck that. All right. It's semplang moment again where you know you realize that there's so much more that I don't know that I thought I knew already, but you don't know. But the most important thing is when you bounce back. So from this experience, yes, because I'm looking at your LinkedIn. Aside from being market head in ABS, the next item there was Shoppertainment. Was there a transition before Shoppertainment, and how did you get into again live selling at this point of your career?
Yeah. So when I was a performer, I was part of O Shopping, right? And while I was a market head, I was seeing a business model that's different from shopping, home TV shopping. So as a market head, in order for my brand to thrive, I always needed sponsors or like intrusions, brand.
Old school media game, advertising. Yeah. It's so hard.
Okay. Yes. But in home TV shopping, I knew that the revenue scheme there was different. It's more about sales.
Conversion.
So while you're doing the programming, you see the real-time sales. So that's how the program earns. So it was a different setup. And then there came a time wherein I was so frustrated with selling stuff for my brand in ABS-CBN. Like I couldn't really get a lot of sponsors yet because it was like, I was starting from scratch. So I didn't have a lot of legacy in terms of my brand building for that media platform, right?
Correct.
So it was harder for me to get sponsors. And I was thinking, bakit dun sa home shopping before? Even though we were new, we were already getting sales. And it was because of the products that was on my mind. So I actually
Because people were drunk when they come home. They are very much impulsive. talking from experience. You know what? I need that porcelain lutuan. Okay, that's nice. Okay, I'll buy No, but you guys were doing a really good job. It's very different. And it's hyper-localized. You're also carrying this little thing pa that, okay, you buy now, huh? There's little things that you're... You and Cara Erigel, super bugalistas, and Victor Anastacio. Okay?
Yeah. It was a fun time when I was doing that program. We actually were shooting abroad. We were shooting in Korea. Yeah.
What? Oh my God. I didn't know that.
Sobrang makulay yung 20s ko eh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Annyeong siya. Okay.
And then parang nag-integrate lang lahat. So given that I had this big problem with the brand that I was handling EBS, which eventually closed down, I felt really sad and low. Parang wow. I think all of these failures was because of me as a leader, as a person who created this, na wala namang alam, ganyan. So I was like self-doubting and all. But then, parang I also reflected on everything that made the brand fail. And I wrote it down. And I realized things that I have to improve in myself as a leader, as a person. And then an opportunity came. We got to meet my husband and I, we were newly married during that
Shout
time.
Shout out, Pat Soyao, if you are somewhere in the building. Move the baso. Okay. Okay, so how what did you, what's the opportunity? Is it in the form of a Steam C? Is that what is that
yes.
the opportunity? Okay, how did you meet Steam C?
So it was in Kubo. Steve was doing a talk.
Okay.
And then Pat was actually his classmate in CDM.
Oh.
So the first time I saw Steve was during that talk, but he knew about Pat. He actually invited Pat to come over. And
in
then
Banaue.
Got
in where? Banaue. The old the office of
In Kubo.
Ah, in Kubo, okay. Because I got invited on by Boss Steve in the Banaue office of Great Deals.
Great
like,
deals,
what is
yeah.
this place? I got lost. And scary to park outside. I felt like my side mirror is going to be gone. Okay.
Same with Shoppertainment. It's like a speakeasy, I swear. It's the same style.
It's fine. As long as my side mirror is okay, then we're fair game. Okay, so Pat met Steve in Kubo, and then what happened?
Pat met Steve in CDM, but he invited us in Kubo. So
okay.
Steve had a talk. It's about Alibaba. He was a
new
e-fellow. That was the
OG program. One. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And he was talking about it, and he shared about the Iron Triangle of Alibaba. So it was fulfillment, logistics, finance. And then in that sphere was media. And then he shared something about home shopping. And then in my head, I was like, I sort of wanted to create a home shopping type of media before.
Okay.
Like it was one of the visions that I also had. Mm. And then when Steve was talking about that, parang ano, there's something that we can integrate. And then when we talked after that, yun, nagkaroon na ng brainstorming about creating our own live selling network. Because
nice.
No one was doing that here in the Philippines yet. Back in 2018.
Got it. That's
yeah.
amazing. Now, how did you start doing it? Because this is also the problem of being first mover. People always say that, yeah, there's a first mover advantage. In every business that I've created, I'm always first mover. So guest listing, nobody was creating guest lists for clubs. I was the only one. Chatbot, when we were doing this in 2017, before it got acquired, people didn't even know what the hell a chatbot was. Now it's so popular. And again, podcasting in 2019. People always think that, blue ocean, it's so much easy. But the disadvantage is that people know what the hell, people didn't know what the hell you were trying to do.
Yeah.
And there was no playbook. What were the disadvantages of being first mover when you were starting this out? That again, there's no playbook. You have to figure it out. But you had a vision, but you don't have the ladder. How do you guys get over that?
So we started with just me creating a study for live selling. So we would go to different brands and then start a live selling campaign there. I would just hire freelancers. And then eventually I got two people to come on board full time.
Okay.
So we were three. So I was doing multiple hats, from doing the accounts to finance to sometimes hosting it if you don't have a talent. Sometimes the writer and producer if you don't have a writer-producer that you could hire. Minsan wala na rin siyang profit. It's really just to do it so that we can have data.
Portfolio then, also.
Mm. Yeah, and portfolio. So we kept on doing that until we were able to get some data, how it would work, how it can be helpful for the brand. And when we were able to create that case that this can help the brand by doing this, and you get this, and that, that's when they started to understand, maybe we should give this a chance.
God.
So it's still a bit hard back in 2019.
Yeah.
People really didn't know about it just yet. Lazada and Shopee just started out with their live streaming tools that brands can use within their stores, but they didn't know how to utilize that. That's when I started making use of those things and giving them campaigns on how to make it work for their stores. Mm-hmm. And then when the pandemic hit,
boom.
Boom, yeah. Yun, mahirap. But we were able to get six people already. Mm-hmm. And one of them was actually our broadcast head back in ABS-CBN. He believed in the vision. So he was also working with me in O-Shopping.
Okay.
He believed in the vision of what we're doing. And then he got on board. So in a way, our productions elevated even though we were still six.
Got it.
And then when the pandemic hit, nakawala ng studios. So we invested in some studios, in a studio space. But because of the pandemic, we had to work
remotely.
Remotely. Yeah, so that was pretty difficult, but we still made it work. In fact, we were able to produce 200 live streams in one
month.
That's amazing.
And that's when the sales picked up. When big companies saw the effect and how it was very helpful during that time, a lot of other companies came in.
Right.
And that's when we started building and building. And we've been bootstrapping 4 years now. Bootstrapping. Yeah, from that 20 square meter space, now we have three floors, 1,500 square meter studios.
Wow.
55 people.
Right. And what I love about what you guys are doing is, again, this is the Steve C formula. So, again, Steve C, as correct me if I'm wrong, is one of the early investors or your partner in this venture as, you, as you've done it. But the way Steve also does his businesses and all of these other investees that he does, he thinks, again, like Alibaba, the Iron Triangle, right? There's the complementary businesses that help out. So if he's doing e-commerce, you know, you guys are doing live streaming, point of sale in the live stream. There's this other company that he does, Mad Agency, which is basically the agency work of performance marketing, right? And that's basically just another way of really making e-commerce really work in different angles. And I love it because when you guys created it, it's so anti-startup. When I say anti-startup, all of us idiots from this side of the town is like, we're like, we need to raise money from the get-go and keep raising and do the growth game.
Yeah.
With a lot of startups not even having the mindset of, hey, I need to get the profitability. The way you guys are doing it is the Steve C way, which is, hey, let's bootstrap this. Let's get good unit economics and let's run this profitably. Mm-hmm. How were you guys able to do that with that mindset? And how did you reinvest the resources that you're able to do, especially if you're bootstrapping this for over 4 years now?
Yeah. We grow according to the demand. And we always find ways to maximize our resources. We also adapt certain practices that, for example, back in O-Shopping, the way that Koreans would do productions was different from the way Filipinos would do it. It was way more efficient. For example, in one big studio, there would only be three people doing the big production. So those practices that we were able to also imbibe during that time, we applied it in what we do. Plus the grind in selling.
Yeah.
Yep. That's where I put a lot of time and effort when we started the company. Mm-hmm. And eventually, having more people to do more sales. And as the demand grows, that's when we just invest more in the resources.
That's amazing. All right. Now let's take our last break. And when we come back, we will now talk about how did they scale Shoppertainment, how they continue to crush the competition despite being first mover. Because again, with the thing with being first mover, the target's going to be at your back. Everybody's going to try to take you down. Always happens in every business that I created, but you guys are killing it. But let's talk about that more after the break. Hey, hustlers, it's time to talk business once again, and we're excited to share a bit more info about our sponsor, Sprout Solutions. And again, just like what I said at the start of the episode, you should check out Sprout's Payroll Starter as you grow your own startup, because this bundle that they have is literally what you need to take your startup to the next level as you grow your employees. And this bundle is your key to freedom, including payroll outsourcing to experts, a subscription to timekeeping and attendance software, and government compliance services. Sprout's Payroll Starter has you covered for payroll, BIR, SSS, and taxes. All the stuff that no founder loves to do. So let Sprout handle the busy work and say goodbye to lines and tax payment stress. All this for as low as 5,000 pesos. Again, that's just 5,000 pesos all in for your payroll and HR needs. So So visit sprout.ph payroll-turner-monthly-5k or again, just click the link in the description box of this episode to elevate your business management game. And again, big thank you to Sprout Solutions, liberating your time for what truly matters. Hey hustlers, wish there was an easy way to open a bank account and grow your money without the hassle of lengthy application process and income documents? Well, I got good news because today's sponsor, Uno Digital Bank, is here to help you achieve your financial goals. You can easily open an account with the Uno app in just 5 minutes and one valid ID. And as one of the 6 digital banks licensed by the Banco Central ng Pilipinas, the company is committed to providing customers with simpler, better, and more accessible banking. Last year, Uno Bank was recognized by the Asia Banking and Finance Awards and bagged the title Open Banking Initiative of the Year due to the success of its partnership with GCash, one of the Philippines' leading mobile wallet platforms. And with the Uno mobile app, you can access an hashtag Uno Ready Savings account and enjoy daily interest crediting. With their hashtag Uno Earn or hashtag Uno Boost Time Deposit accounts, you can enjoy a high interest rate of up to 6.5% per annum. Enjoy monthly payouts with hashtag Uno Earn and flexible tenors with hashtag Uno Boost. Other app features include pay bills, the Uno Virtual Debit MasterCard, life insurance, scan and pay with QRPH, and phones. And the one thing that I really love about Uno Digital Bank is they're open to collaborate with a lot of Filipino startups. I've had a chance to see the partnerships that they've had lined up with the startups that they have, and it's truly exciting to see how a digital bank like Uno can enable startups to unlock the power of fintech through digital banking. So if you're ready to elevate your banking experience, download the Uno mobile app today from the Google Play Store or App Store. Or if you want to collaborate with them, I'll be happy to give you an intro. Just shoot us an email at hello@huffleshare.com. Hey hustlers, I hope you're having a great 2024 so far. As you know, a lot of startups had a very challenging 2023, and hopefully things are going to do better this year for a lot of us. Not just because it's the year of the dragon, but also because our sponsor, DragonPay, is here to help your startups process payments in the most efficient way. Established in 2010, DragonPay empowers businesses of all sizes to accept and disperse payments through secure and convenient channels, giving your customers the flexibility to choose the payment method that suits them best. With over 85 partner channels, 35,000 partner branches nationwide, including QRPH, e-wallets, crypto, buy now, pay later, and many more. They also process an astonishing 15 million transactions processed globally each month. DragonPay is your trusted choice for online payments. And here's something to show you how legit DragonPay is. DragonPay was named Fintech of the Year at last year's Philippine Fintech Festival in 2023. So let's make 2024 extra prosperous for you and your startup in this year of the dragon. For more details, head on over to dragonpay.ph. That's dragonpay.ph. Trust the pioneer. Trust DragonPay. And we're back in the break. We are still with, yes, Neri. So yeah, I didn't call her an ass anymore, so that's good. I want to now talk about YAS again. You talked about how you were able to scale the across the demand, run it profitably. But again, when you scale, you also need to scale your team. You talked about having the right team that you're now a team of 6, and I'm pretty sure it's bigger. Talk about the type of team you built around you and what are the dynamics that allow you to do magic together?
Mm-hmm. It's a combination of different industries because back then, live selling wasn't really an industry wherein you can get professionals who already have this experience, right?
Yep.
So we would get professionals who have like core skills that we would need. So for example, events. Mm. Go live once. So that mindset of preparation for projects is something that we can get from people from events.
Got it.
Someone who's from e-commerce, because the mindset of sales and how the customer journey would be like is something that's very important. So that's why we needed someone to do that. And then we also needed fresh grads who are quick thinkers, YouTubers, tinkerers, who just know how to make things work by just researching and tinkering on things.
Got it. No, but on the top level, so you said you mentioned that you had a production manager. What's very interesting, and I always commend people that are able to work with their spouse in a business. How does this work with your dynamic with Pat? And how do you define the line? Because, man, I can imagine if it gets stressful, you bring that home. How do you balance that thing out?
Yeah. Well, when you're handling a company that's scaling and it's very fast, you always need help. You need a lot more leaders in the company so that you could meet the demand and scale along with the market, right? Mm-hmm. So I knew that Pat's strength is really HR, finance, and sales as well. So him coming over really enhanced that part of the business. So I didn't see it like a competition or something that's up a one. I really needed help. And he gave the help that we need. I respect also his decisions in those departments because he had more experience in those fields. For me, it's more of the operations, like how, for example, the presenters would be better, how they're able to adapt. The accounts, the growing of the accounts, even the legacy accounts that I was able to put in, that's also part of my scope. Overall strategy and partnership was with me as well. Mm-hmm. And then we also have Exicom, another person, which is Lawrence, the one who's handling all of our production. So he was our broadcast head back in O-Shopping, and now he's our chief broadcast officer. So he would handle all of the technical stuff, operations as we take on bigger projects, because it's not just like your usual live selling mind that we're doing now. We actually do launches. We've been doing like on ground, online as well. So for example, there would be a store launch in a mall. So we would do the live there, create like a live stream event, and then at the same time sell the products online. So it's like an omni setup already. So that's the scale that we're doing because of the productions that Lawrence was able to build. So it's more about trusting more leaders and cultivating leaders in the company that makes it work for us, enabling them to be part of the company, not just as a employee, but also as with an owner mindset really helps. So giving them employee stock options, very, very important too.
There you go.
So yeah, it's the culture that would make it work for startups like us, right?
That is amazing. I love the dynamic. But okay, despite all these great things that happen, talk to me about the hard shit. What are the hardest stuff you had to overcome? And did you have any near-death experiences like most startups do?
Oh, yeah. Every Q1, Q2, of course, that would be like kind of, right? The sales can be like really slow.
Yeah.
So we worry, what will happen? What will happen? What's the trajectory? Ganyan. But then it would pick up Q3, Q4. Right. So the worry would always be in the first part of the year. Right. Also, I guess challenges would be the cash flow, right? Yep. Especially in the advertising industry.
Oh my God. Talk to me about it. My goodness, so hard.
Yeah, the terms of like 90, 120, 90, 60, 90, 120 days, right?
Abonado. You're always abonado. That's it. Mm-hmm.
So that's always been a challenge for companies like us who's in the advertising industry. But it's all about finding ways on how to parang
bridge it,
yeah, and how to be more liquid.
Yeah.
So that's always like the challenge for us.
No, and that's a challenge with every. I mean, I know the thing. You have to have a nest egg. That, you know, when for rainy days, because when the rainy days come, it really is sometimes a quarter, sometimes it's a whole freaking half of the year, and there's nothing. That's why for us in P&A, we had to really find another way to make money, which is through Pod Machine, through this monthly recurring revenue. Because if advertising alone, we would have been dead a long time ago. Especially in a nascent industry like this, my God, it's just not going to work. Right. So we had to do difficult moves, but again, it's for the better. But okay, I want to understand last few questions, Yaz. You mentioned there's always this constant evolution of having to understand new skills and learning and unlearning things. as a leader, what were those things that, especially as you scaled, there are things that you have to learn and unlearn as you went along. What were those things that you were now adding onto your repertoire to become better?
When I first started the company, it's really focusing on the technical skills. For example, the production itself, operations and all. But as you go bigger, I realized that as a leader, you should be better more with people management.
Yes.
And how you're able to really cultivate the culture. Because people is the heart of our business. We're a service company. And we really need to understand how each one can thrive and how we can co-work better so that we can all be sustainable. So as a leader, that's very important. Being able to enhance people's skills, increasing your EQ. Even if like it's really tough, parang gusto mo nang sigawan ng person na to because of this your frustration, but at the end of the day you try to who's parang calm yourself down. Teka la, is it reasonable why I have to do this, or is it just emotions and stress?
Right.
But the person just doesn't know, and you just have to train better. So those things you have to be in perspective.
Okay, and again, yes, I'm super duper duper impressed. There's not a lot of startup founders that are also moms, and you have an infant that's another startup on its own. And again, there's this legendary thing that Steve Z told me, like, you know, yes, went back right away just a few weeks after giving birth. She was doing meetings then, and she was telling me that, hey, why are you here? Why are you working? Right? You should be taking care, you should be resting. Talk to me the difficulties of how is it in raising an infant, a child, and still having to do shoppertainment. How are you even able to do that?
Very difficult. But, you know, the saying, it takes a village to raise a baby. So definitely like a support system, having my in-law, my mom, even our yaya to help us out with our baby definitely is very, very helpful for entrepreneurs like us, right? Because entrepreneurs are leaders. You always need to show up, right? So whatever happens, even though if it's difficult for you personally, you still have to show up and lead people and show them that you're with them in the trenches, right?
Correct.
So,
okay, what's the most difficult part of about being a mom entrepreneur?
Definitely, it takes a lot of energy.
How are you even able to do it? I can't think how. Like, wow.
Willpower pa rin talaga.
Okay. Willpower.
Willpower.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And of course, people who can help.
That's a cameo of her daughter, by the way. She's been doing cameos the whole time. All right.
He's just playing with her yaya downstairs.
There you go. I love it. So again, that's amazing. Last few questions. Metrics. I'm just super curious. What are the things you care about the most in live selling? How do you know if something's successful? And then how do you make sure that you improve on a... stream to stream basis. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Stream to stream basis. Well, first of all, since we're a B2B, we cater to brands. We need to know what their objectives are. Is it really more of a disengagement or conversion? And what we do really tackles all from awareness, engagement, and conversion as well.
Okay.
If, for example, this brand wants more of the conversion, then we create the campaign differently. To make it more conversion driven. And if it's more of awareness, then we would also recalibrate the execution more on awareness. So it's really matching the needs for every brand that we have so that they see value in us because they need help in certain KPIs.
Got it.
So we're there with them.
Sounds good. Now, last question before we say goodbye. Again, entrepreneurship is not a straight line. It's a Richter scale of a lot of ups and a lot of downs. But yes, what is the most unforgettable milestones? And talk to me about that most unforgettable milestone that you guys hit that, you know, just gives the sarap in being a startup founder.
Mm-hmm. Siguro the 0 to 1 was one of the most memorable things to me. I remember like the contracts that I would get initially was just, you know, 100,000 or below, ganyan. So, maliliit.
Yep.
And then when one of the brands saw value in what we do, they subscribed for a year.
Wow.
And that was like a big contract. And I was like, oh my gosh, it works.
That's
and
amazing.
That's when I felt like so happy.
Yeah. It's those little wins, you know, at the end of the day, you start chipping away at it like, boom, oh my God, this happens. And again, that's very unforgettable. And sometimes when you go, because it's not going to end like that. People always think that, I close a big brand. There are going to be another phase where you feel like you're just chipping away at 100,000 again until you get to the next boom that happens. Right. But yes, if I'm just going to ask you advice for women entrepreneurs, because again, there's not enough of you guys. We need more women hustlers and founders. Mm-hmm. What would be your advice for people or women entrepreneurs that want to get into the startup world and become like you?
I think it's really cultivating your expertise first, like for any entrepreneur. Because if you start a business and you don't know anything about it, how would people believe you? So for women, first is, what's your expertise? And do you believe in yourself enough in order for you to take on this big challenge? So that's one. Second is, don't downplay your femininity. Like, there might be this connotation that in order for you to be a leader, you always need to be this strict, masungit.
Miss Minchin. There you go.
Correct. Mm-hmm. But no, it really depends on your personality. Play on your strengths. I know that my management style is different, and having complementary managers or complementary leaders within the company would also do wonders with your culture. So if my management style is like this and that person's management style is something like this, then we can take on like different roles in the company. If you also acknowledge those things, the strengths of others first, you get to really kind of strategize on how you can cultivate that winning culture for your company. Yeah, I'm all about that now because it was quite hard. Those were some of the struggles that we were able to go through. People can be very difficult, but it's all about how you can be tenacious, but at the same time, ground yourself on who you really are as a leader and as a founder that would make you grow.
That is amazing. Again, thank you so much, Yas, for such an amazing episode. And again, I'm pretty sure this is not going to be the last time we'll have you on the show. We'll have you in Founders Only when you catch up as well. But invite people over. What should they look out for with Shoppertainment? And it's now 9/9/99 is coming up. You're going to be boodling every one of us again. What should we look out for in the next coming months and probably then by next year?
Yep. Watch out for our shows on Lazada and Shopee. And you can also follow us on TikTok. We have a TikTok shop now called Shoppertainment Live channel. So you can also find the great products there and you can get entertained with our short videos and live selling programs.
All right. Thank you so much. Yes, but before I let you go, follow us whatever podcast app you're listening to, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any type of podcast app out there. It's going to be, again, if you see a 5-star, give us a 5-star rating again if you like this stuff. And it helps us have more stars. Doesn't really help us. I just like stars. So check it out. Give us a 5-star rating there. And if you also did some jargon, it's going to be show notes. It's going to be in the show notes in hustleshare.com. Sorry, we're recording this on a Friday. My brain is fried already, so I'm not that good. I'm bulol all the time. And lastly, if you want to be part of our community, check out the community and Hustle Share Facebook group. And if you want to be part of our community and how we create content, it's going to be the premium at hustleshare.com. Again, yes, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I super enjoyed this, Ron. Thank you.
All right. Because we're dragons. There you go. All right.
Yeah,
right.
By sound.
There you go. All right. And I'll see you guys in the next episode. Peace.